Good morning, one and all. It's the beginning of the end. It's the last of days. It is the final 24 hours of Glastonbury 2009. But we're not down. Oh, no. We're still giving it the full gun, podding till the end of time. I'll be joined later on by Alex Needham and Tim Jones. Remember, it's Rosie's day off. She's birthday girl. But between us three lads, we'll be rounding up our highlights from Saturday night at the festival. We'll also be looking forward to Sunday and asking your opinions of what's coming up.
Her voice is one of my favourite sounds. Other experience.
We'll find out which voice the king of cut-ups, Errol Alkan, will revive from the dead if he possibly could.
I just want to get really drunk and have a good mosh.
We have been out in the field speaking to you about what you're looking forward to on this last day. And we'll also have a little musical interlude from Little Boots. Our first guest, though, warmed up for the boss on the main stage last night. That was Kasabian and Shoot the Runner. Tim, what are the qualities that have got Kasabian so high up the bill that they're basically supporting Bruce Springsteen?
Well, I think they've surprised pretty much everyone who knew about them in the press when they first started. I think people thought, you know, they're quite a comedy band almost and they were just going to be one album wonders. But they come back with, they've advanced their sound every time and they've got three albums now, which is, you know, they've got more and more silly as well, more and more creative, so I think...
Okay, so whereabouts did you meet them in the end?
Well, I snuck into the BBC backstage area, which I wasn't supposed to be.
The ever-growing BBC.
I certainly wasn't supposed to be there interviewing all the bands they were interviewing. So I did that, and I got a chance to speak to Serge, and I asked him, you know, what it was like warming up for Bruce Springsteen.
You don't really know. I seen him last night on the telly doing the Super Bowl, and he's got a lot of... He's got a lot of tricks, man. He's got a lot of moves, so it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard. But
so has Tom been practicing his moves? Is that his?
He's got some new ones. Yeah, they're all good. I mean, we're playing really. Coming in right in the middle of the tour, so we're playing really well. So I think it's just going to be a cracking night, you know.
And how many times have you been to Glastonbury before?
This is the fourth time.
Fourth time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's your kind of best memories of it?
I think the first time we came because we stayed for the whole weekend, and I'll never forget that weekend. It was absolutely wonderful and horrific at the same time. It was great.
Horrific in what way?
Well, it was just, you know, like what, you know, what goes up must come down at some point, you know what I mean? Pretty much, you know, spent the Sunday in a real bad place.
Did you have time to kind of see the Stone Circle and the kind of Shangri-La areas and all of that?
The next time we played it, we've been in and out. So I think we're going to come madly enough. When I got some time off, I'd actually come. That's weird, hanging around a festival and you're not playing it, but I'd just like to see it because I'd never seen it before.
Yeah. So what bands have you seen today that have kind of impressed you?
Caught a bit of Dizzy Rascal, which was...
Oh, that was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, he's sort of flying at the moment and, you know, it was great, you know, that was really good.
Is there anyone you'd like to kind of see play in the future?
Tell you who's Malachi. I don't know if they're playing it, but I'd like to see them. They brought an album out this year. It's amazing. So I'd like to see them.
Are there any plans for any Michael Jackson tributes tonight in the Kasabian set?
So no. I don't. I don't know because Tom maybe, but I don't think so.
What do you think the best time of day is at Glastonbury? If you could pick an hour where the best thing's happening.
Sundown, I always think, just when it goes sort of pyramid stage, which just goes behind the trees, just before that, I think that's great.
Is that because the kind of the worry of playing's over? You know, you can destroy yourself?
Maybe that's why I like it so much, yeah. Yeah, it just sort of seems like the, you know, it's a starting gun, you know what I mean?
And Tom's very, you know, he's quite a hyperactive young chap. How does he cope with Glastonbury?
He's bouncing around the walls at the moment. He's in the changing room just like, you know what I mean? Can you imagine? Just those balls you get out the, you know, at a seaside town that's really bouncy. He's just pinging off the walls. So I think he just can't wait to play. But he goes, man. He likes to get out. He can't, it's too much. He just likes to get out of it.
That's Serge Pizzorno from Kasabian there with Tim Jones. And Tim and Alex Needham join me now for a little review session, looking back at Saturday, looking forward to the rest of today, Sunday. I think we'll start with Saturday and we'll start, as we did last night, with the headliners. It seemed to me with Bruce that that was much more of a unifying pull than Neil Young was the previous night, Alex.
Well, I found Bruce rather hard work. I mean... He definitely did command the crowd. Obviously, his stagecraft has been honed over the years. He sort of commanded the stage like a sultan, and he worked really hard. But I did think it was a terribly thin sprinkling of hits over an incredibly long set. I mean, it did go on for the best part of 3 hours.
And the first hour was pretty much exclusively album tracks. Tim, did you actually physically survive the full set?
Well,
did you leave a part of your body in the field?
No. I liked the first hour, even though I didn't really know many of the songs, and I was just enjoying it, and I thought, this is great. But I was kind of just... I just don't think any set should go on for that long. It just, by the time it ended, I just couldn't wait for it to finish.
But isn't that the whole point of rock and roll, that it is something that should go on till the early morning?
No, the point of rock and roll is it should be finished in half an hour. It should be short and, you know, short and sweet.
So you can get the last boss home. What were the highlights from his set? I mean, not just tracks, but, you know, what he actually did. Because you're right, the whole band were really, really up for it, really honed, and kind of lots of routines and stuff that they all put off on stage.
Yeah, well, I like the bit in Born to Run where obviously there's the big kind of breakdown before the last verse comes back in, and he did run right down the stage into the pit, kind of shook hands with a bunch of people, then kind of went up the other side and round. So those kind of theatrics were good, but.
He did quite a lot of preaching stuff as well, like Preacher Man stuff, like where he's going, we're going to build a house. We're going to build a house out of music.
And build a house of love as well.
I was quite into that, actually.
Yeah, no, I saw somebody Twitter the fact that, you know, everybody in the house of love, all right, but E17, coming
We're back to where we started.
Yeah, indeed.
The thing is, he could have literally built a house in the time it took him to finish the song.
But just one, quickly and finally on Bruce, I mean, the length aside, and we're maybe going to suggest that it's only real fans that would have enjoyed the full 2.5 hours, do you think it was worthwhile standing through all of that, even though you didn't enjoy it all, for the highlights therein?
He pulled it back with Dancing in the Dark at the end. That made it, I actually felt like it was worth waiting for that. So,
Tim and I did dance to that one,
yeah.
Arm in arm. So that was we did have a bit of a Glastonbury moment for that. But he made us work so hard for it. I mean, it's not meant to be that much effort, surely.
So what else did we see around the site yesterday, Saturday? I mean, I can put my hand up at this point and say I saw Dizzy Rascal and loved him, but... What about you, Alex? You got to see a bit in the afternoon and stuff.
I saw quite a bit in the afternoon. I really enjoyed the Big Pink. I thought they were, because you sort of expect them to be a bit shambolic. They've got a bit of a
party reputation,
but I thought they were really kind of in control, and they've got a great kind of melange of pop and sort of noise that I think works really well. I enjoyed a bit of Heartbreak, the kind of sort of enjoyably ludicrous kind of Italo disco duo. And
Tim, actually, sorry, just on that dance note, did you go and see any of your dance tips?
I went to see Heartbreak as well, and I went to see LaRue.
Rosie may not be on the show, but she's been raving.
Florence.
And raving about Florence, who she also saw. So synth pop girl's done good.
But I have to say I agree with you, Paul. I thought Dizzy stole the show for me.
He's making a lot more party tunes. He played for the first time this new Calvin Harris Holiday combination, which is
just
synth
ridiculous.
House, ridiculous synth house with a bit of Dizzy on top. But I think he's really managed to move himself into the mainstream, and that's maybe why he can hold these bigger crowds.
Some people around me were saying they couldn't believe it was such a big crowd, but yeah, it's almost like a different artist to it. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people there hadn't really heard his first album or anything like that.
So today, quickly go through who we're looking forward to seeing. Alex?
Well, I think the Yeah Yeah Yeahs will be very good. Obviously, Blur are ones to watch. Everybody's excited about them.
Tim, you're definitely going to go and see Blur, aren't you?
I am, because I saw them at Goldsmiths last week, and I've always liked Blur, but I've never been moved emotionally by them. I've always just thought they were a great pop band, but absolutely blew me away. One of the best shows I've ever seen at Goldsmiths. There's something really touching about seeing Damon on stage with Graham and loving every minute of it, and I just think that's going to be...
Do you think they will treat this as a special one-off type show?
Oh, they're going to love it. You can totally tell. I just think, and also a lot of the songs that I didn't used to like so much were just real massive anthems, so things like Tender, which I never liked, were just beautiful and moving. So I just think on the big stage that it's just going to be great.
Very interesting. I'm hoping one of you or the other or both will come and join me watching Amadou and Mariam in the afternoon. I'm very much looking forward to that. Those are our opinions, but obviously that's not the full picture. So we are out there in the fields today speaking to you all about what you were going to go and see on Sunday.
My name's Lucy, I'm from Bristol.
Jenna from Bristol.
Jolie from Bristol.
And Amy from Bristol as well.
The highlight so far was Block Party. They were brilliant all the way through, absolutely amazing.
I love Lily Allen. It wasn't what you were expecting at all. She kind of came on with this purple wig and what's it called, like a jumpsuit kind of thing. Last time I was wearing That's Me, she was there with wellies and a mac on, and this time she had stilettos. She looked really glam. She was brilliant.
Phoebe Brown this morning was really, really good too.
I also did enjoy a bit of Bjorn again.
Bjorn again.
Sunday night, I'm really looking forward to Prodigy. I just want to get really drunk and have a good mosh.
That was the voice of you. But now, yesterday, Rosie caught up with Little Boots and her xylophone. Rosie took along a microphone, fortunately, and set about recording the results.
What is it? I can't remember it.
I like what you've
done. No one knows.
Well, speaking of cover versions, which that sort of was, you said in your set just then that you were planning on doing loads of covers.
Yeah, I nearly did all covers, because I don't really do acoustic sets, so I thought I'd just do loads of covers, because I just always do covers.
What were you going to do?
I was going to do Sugar Babes, and then I was thinking about doing... there's just loads of maybes. I was thinking of maybe doing... Well, I did Blur in the end, actually. And mix them up.
But do you feel I really liked it as Unplugged, and I wasn't expecting that at all. I don't know if you can really call it Unplugged, because you did actually have your keyboard plugged in.
A bit lounge, isn't it?
In the lounge. Is it something that you plan on doing more often?
I don't know. I like doing it like that, but I think it's quite confusing because it sounds nothing like my recorded album. But you know, that's how I mess around and write songs and play songs, so it's more like the stuff I do on YouTube, I guess.
And obviously you paid tribute to the King of Pop. And you picked which particular song?
I played Earth Song.
What made you go for that?
I love that song. I think it's incredible. It's such a massive tune. I just love the idea of him like coming back with that album and the record label, like, right, Michael, what have you got? Stick Earth Song on. It's just like your mind's blown. It's just incredible. And when I first started playing it, everyone started laughing. And I was like, it's not funny. This song's absolutely amazing. So, yeah, by the end, everyone's joining in. It was good.
This is, I'm told this is the end of your you being on duty. So what are your plans?
I think I'll probably go watch a few bands, a few drinks, and then we've got to leave in the middle of the night. So, yeah, I don't know, really. Just go hang out and change out my sequins and just start chilling out.
OK, that was Little Boots plinking and plonking away with our Rosie Swash in a camper van earlier on today. Alex, yesterday, you met Errol Alkin, and he's going to be, your interview with him will be pretty much the first interview we've done at Glastonbury this year with anybody who's making dance music. But yeah, dance music is quite, I mean, it's everywhere at the festival.
Yeah, definitely. Glastonbury didn't used to be a sort of a dance festival until the early 90s, when I think they had a dance tent for the first time. But since then, it's been a massive sort of flavour of what's available here. You know, there's tons of different kinds of music and dance in all its forms. You can hear all over the site from dubstep to electro and sort of really cheesy house. They're all on at the dance tent.
Yeah, and it seems to go down with a variety of punters as well. But you were speaking to Errol, and he's been to quite a lot of Glastonbury's before.
Yeah, that's where I started. I asked him how many Glastonbury's he'd been to up to now.
I think this is my eighth one in a row, but I think I missed one around 2000 and something. I can't remember, 2005 maybe.
Well, do you think the headliners are too old this year? That's been something, or too kind of safe?
Blur, certainly not. I think Blur are kind of just, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like a cultural heritage for us now in a way, you know, like musically, certainly. And I think, you know, I had the benefit of seeing them 2 weeks ago at Brixton Academy at a warm-up show, which was like it was insane. They were like, Brixton was kind of like half full, just for friends and family, and they still like just completely like the atmosphere is electrifying. Yeah. And you just realise just how much great songwriting that you know there is in there. A couple of my friends who are here who are much younger than me, you know, they're equally as excited about seeing someone like Blur as well. And I don't know, Neil Young, I'd love to see him. I'd really love to have seen him whilst playing at the same time. So
yeah, how did that go?
Really good. Kind of like I was a bit daunting, you know, being told, you know, you headline the dance tent, obviously I just come to Glastonbury and spend, you know, quite a few nights in the dance tent, so to be told that you're doing it as well was kind of really, it was super lovely, and it was really good fun.
What song went down the best?
I played this new track by a guy called D.I.M. track, I suppose, called Lipo Sucked, and just everyone just lost, went bananas to it, so that was good. And a few other kind of things, like a few classics, like you know, Tiger's Mind Dimension, always works really well, goes down well. And last song, Michael Jackson, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Yeah,
I was going to say, did you just down your bootleg of Billie Jean and God Only Knows?
You know what, I was actually, you know, someone actually said that, they said you should play that, and then I listened to it, and listening, you know, in relation to him dying,
yeah,
it's kind of a really weird sentiment, like lyrically, you know, from the Beach Boys end of it.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be a bit kind of crass almost. Yeah. And people were like, you gotta play that. It's just like, no, but you hear it in, like, If You Should Ever Leave Me.
So what have your best kind of Glastonbury's gone by been?
My first one, the most memorable, and that was, I think that was in 94. Yeah. And it was the day my two favourite gigs of that one were The Manics and Blur. Mm. Both playing on, I think it was the other stage actually.
Yeah.
That was amazing because those were two, you know, incredible albums that were released at that point, The Holy Bible and Part Life. And I don't really think I've seen a gig that's kind of it's topped those two.
What lore do you think you'd introduce into Glastonbury if you could?
God. I tell you what I would ban. And a lot of the food out there isn't that incredible at all.
Mm. Are you producing any bands?
I've stepped back from producing bands for a while, just to concentrate on original music, which I am currently producing under three different projects I'm working on. I've been making a load of just club music with Boys Noise, and then I'm doing an original Beyond the Wizard's Sleeve album.
Yeah.
Exploring what is psychedelic in 2009, and also working on some other original music just under my own name, which I don't know how it's really going to turn out.
So you'll be coming out as Errol?
I don't know, it's really hard to, because when you worked under so many different names, you kind of it's really hard to understand like where you begin and end, you know, when you it's kind of cool to hide behind a name. You sometimes have, you know, more kind of freedom.
If you could bring a dead musician back to life to play Glastonbury, who would it be?
It'd probably be Karen Carpenter.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah. Her voice is one of my favourite sounds on this that I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
It's kind of extremely selfish, but it's honest. Maybe I should have said Kurt Cobain or something like that, but Karen Carpenter, just purely for the fact that her voice just does something for me that many other vocalists can't do.
Right, that was Errol Alkan there talking to our culture boss, our culture supremo, Alex Needham. Tim, yesterday at this point in the podcast, we took a little time out, we took a breather, and we talked about things we'd seen around site. Now, you were rubbish at it yesterday, so I'm going to go straight to Alex instead. Alex, you've come up with the goods on the interview. Have you seen any notable people around the site today?
I have. Well, there was a very strange combination of people in the backstage bar last night. I suppose it shows you the kind of diverse audience that Glastonbury pulls. There was Dominic West, who all Guardian readers will know as McNulty. There was Stephen Daldry, the film and theatre director. And there was also Giles Deacon, the fashion designer, who used to hang around the offices of a magazine I worked for years and years ago. But
only the culture supremo could know all those three different people.
You would
only
get one supergroup. Those three.
Rumour is they're playing the Park stage on Sunday night.
Exactly.
Tim, any kind of randomness that you've spotted over the last 24 hours?
Well, I mean, the most amazing thing I saw was I went to see LaRue. And I just couldn't get anywhere near, I mean, not even near the tent. It was, you know, layers and layers of people. And every one of them seemed to be kind of 15-year-old girl with glitter all over the face. So I felt like that was a real moment because there was, you know, looking at the crowd, you sometimes think everyone's maybe a bit older and it's not, you know, it's not like it used to be. But, you know, there is actually a lot of young girls who are quite happy to scream their lungs out.
Cool. Now, Tim, when you're not out there kind of analysing the current state of gender politics, you've been putting loads of content on the website. What can our listeners look forward to on Sunday?
Well, at the moment, we asked a lot of the people here, everyone has a mini guide around their neck, and we told them to send tweets with a GM review as their hashtag. And so we've got a link to all of their kind of best reviews, what they've been seeing. So, You know,
what's the standard? What's the standard like? Are you in fear of your
Rosie
job?
I think Rosie might be out of a job when her birthday's over.
There was me thinking you might fall on your sword, but no, Rosie can cop it first. Very good. All right. Now we've also got some lots of more multimedia content. We're going to have live audio from the Glastonbury Lounge on tomorrow's podcast, but we've got lots of video as well, including this. See if you can work out what it is.
It's a woman, and she had a brain transplant, and she came out, and she couldn't speak for ages. Like, she just stood there going, and there's some crazy German doctors and stuff. And
then, we've been stuck in this corridor for about 3 days.
Yeah, we can't get out. And Charlotte drew a penguin on the wall.
Fried cut. Look at the cut there, fried.
Glastonbury at Night, a little composition by John DeMocos, one of our camera wizards who fancies himself as a bit of a Hunter S. Thompson. Okay, it's nearly all over then. We've still got enough energy for 24 hours more of musical madness, and so we'll be back together tomorrow to tell you about it. A reminder once again, we will have lots of live music from the Guardian Lounge tomorrow morning, and the best of the other bits we couldn't cram in. We'll have Franz Ferdinand, Alex Kapranos, Metric, Passion Pit, Ebony Bones, and more for your delectation. Till then, goodbye.